Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
How many knows that your name is there? Say amen. Now, let's sing it now. My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear. Sing it, I know. I know. All right, ladies, my name, sing it out. No. Written on the second, my name once stood with sinners lost and bore a painful record, but by his blood the Savior crossed and placed it on his roll. This morning, just knowing, thanking God this morning, just in knowing that I'm saved. How many knows that you're saved? Amen. I know my name is there. Amen, amen. Woo. Y'all are sounding good tonight. Have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have all the riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than all the finest houses or land. I'd rather be led by those nails or beheld in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than all a man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than all the worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to your holy name than to be a king of a vast domain. Afford today. Oh, I'd rather have you, Jesus, than anything this world can afford today. I'd rather have you, Jesus. I'd rather have you than anything. I'd rather have Jesus. How many would? Than all a man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his cause. I'd rather have Jesus than all the worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to your holy name than to be a king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. Oh, I'd rather have you, Jesus, oh, than anything this world it can't afford today. I'd rather have you, Jesus, than anything this world it can't afford today. I'd rather have you, Jesus, than Joy my heart now knows. How can I begin to measure love that ever grows? How can I then explain what happens when we speak your name? Lord, how? Please tell me.
Sitting here, and I asked William, I said, I wonder if your mama could do me a song. And I what I wanted was a song titled A Greater Yes, is what I wanted. And I looked at him, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get her to sing Did I Mention That I Love Him? Let the choir back him up on this. So I want her to come around. C to D flat? Is that, are you doing it?
Sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by
faithful.
that's all I want to say. Oh, how I love him. Oh, how I love him. That's all.
Church tonight. Thank you for those that have come to honor our graduates. Afterwards, we'll go down, and each one of them has a nice table, and each one different personalities. It's kind of interesting to look at the different tables. But we're looking forward to all of you that will meet with us afterwards down in the fellowship hall, that you'll do that, and we'll appreciate it very much. But before we do, Brother Stephen, our student pastor, is going to come forward and deliver the gospel for us. And so we're going to tell him to keep it down to 15 minutes. I'm just kidding, brother. But we are going to have a good time in the Lord afterwards. I believe we've had a good time in the Lord thus far. Now it's time to open the book. So, brother, you come and give us what the Lord has for us.
You said keep it down to 50 minutes. Is that what you said? Oh, yeah. That's what I thought, right? Man, you're making me nervous sitting back there, though. Last time I preached, Pastor Melvin sat back there, and I was equally as nervous. But listen, before we get started tonight, I was sitting there singing. I tell you what, we've been in church tonight, haven't we? Praise God for what he's doing here. And here's the thing, church. Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. One of those three. C.S. Lewis said it best. He said he's either a liar, he thought he was God, which makes him a lunatic, or he's actually God and he's Lord. It's for us to decide who he is. But the book makes it abundantly clear, Jesus is Lord. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So, but before we get started, I'll tell you a funny story, as I like to do. There was an elementary school classroom who was going to have show and tell. And the teacher said, I want you guys to bring something for show and tell that actually represents your religion. And so there's three students that were kind of highlighted. First of all, Mary. She got up in front of the classroom, and she showed a crucifix. She said, hi, my name's Mary. I'm Catholic, and here's a crucifix. Well, then Benjamin got up, and he said, hi, my name's Benjamin. I'm Jewish, and here's the Star of David. Well, then little Johnny got up, and he was carrying a casserole. And he said, hi, my name's Johnny, and I'm Baptist, and this is a casserole. Amen, right? Right, Brother Dave? That's right. Let's pray, and we'll get started tonight. Father God, Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for the time that we have to be in your house. God, we are so grateful for the opportunity to open your word and to read it and to see what it has to say to us. God, I ask that you would remove me from this place, Lord. Let my words not return void, but instead to accomplish exactly what you please, piercing the heart of every individual present. God, we will give you the honor and the glory. We'll be careful to do so, for it is in your name we pray. And the church said, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to the book of Hebrews. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10 here in just a little bit. But let me go ahead and give you a preface of what we're going to be talking about tonight, what the message is going to entail. But first of all, I'll give you the title. The title of tonight's message is just simply this: what are you doing with your dash? And I'm going to explain to you what that means, because typically you get puzzled looks when you mention something like that. And I want you to understand, graduates, that I'm speaking to you as you step out of this place and as you step into a whole brand new world. But I'm also speaking to the rest of the church, because we're not promised tomorrow, and we don't know what tomorrow is going to look like. You may walk into tomorrow and face something totally different than you've ever experienced before. And what I want to do is I want to give you just a brief formula that's going to help you face tomorrow just a little bit better. And so the title is, what are you doing with your dash? And here's the explanation for it. And it's fitting because of the sensitive subjects that we talked about this morning and the reality that we're not promised tomorrow. So if you've ever been to a funeral or you've ever been to a graveside service, and I want you to picture a headstone. And on a headstone, there's three things. There's a birth date and there's a death date, and both of those things we can't do anything about. We wish we could, but in reality, the birth date is what it is and the death date is equally what it is, and there's nothing that you or I can do to change when God says it's time for us to go. But there's one thing in the middle that we have every control over, and it's the dash. Listen, your birth date is set in stone, literally. Your death date is set in stone, but guess what? It's that little bitty dash in the middle that tells the story of your life. And that's what I want to talk about today. And as you think about that dash, when you get to that moment and you have a funeral service or a memorial and people are eulogizing you and they're remembering your life, they're not going to talk about your birthday. They're not going to talk about your death date. But the tears and the joy and the laughter and the smiles and the cries, they're all going to be centered around what happened in that little bitty dash. And they're all going to be centered around the stories and the vacations and the conversations and the family and the friends and the impact and the jobs and everything that makes your life unique is all going to be represented in that one little bitty dash. And here's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about how you can make that dash not just successful according to the world, but how can you make it spiritually impactful? And how can you make that dash be one that is remembered for all of eternity? And how can you make that dash one that prepares you to enter into eternity? And so here's the word that comes to my mind, and then we'll read out of the book of Hebrews, but it's the word legacy. And it fits really well into this idea of a dash. Listen, the life that you live is the legacy that you leave. You cannot leave a legacy apart from the life you live, no matter how badly you want to. You can't leave a legacy of something that doesn't reflect your life. Listen, the reality is that your legacy is going to be reflected or is going to be a representation of the life you live, and that's it. So the life you live is the legacy you leave, and that's the idea that I want you to grasp tonight. Graduates, when you step into college, you might have thought that high school didn't mean anything or the decisions you make in high school didn't mean anything. Well, that's not true, but guess what? When you go to college, don't let anybody tell you that the decisions you make don't mean anything. Don't let anybody tell you that you can live your life the way you want to apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's not going to matter because you're just a college student. And listen, church, don't let anybody tell you that tomorrow doesn't matter because you're promised the next day, because we know you're not. Listen, the life you live is the legacy that you leave. What do you want that dash to look like? And what do you want that dash to be contained or to contain when it comes to the moment when people are reflecting your life? And so we're going to look in the book of Hebrews. This is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to start reading in verse 19 here in just a minute. But let me give you a little bit of background. I like history. I like the backstory. I like to know what's going on. I wish I could tell you that we knew who wrote the book of Hebrews, but in reality, we don't. We don't know exactly who wrote it, but we know a couple of things about it. It was written in the first century AD, after the church was relatively young. And so persecution was being really a struggle in the church during this time. The church was experiencing persecution. And even though we don't know the author of the book of Hebrews, we do know that the author of the book of Hebrews had a deep relationship with the recipients and that he desired to be reunified with them. And here's what he's doing. He's writing this book to talk about faith. And he's writing this book to talk about the sufficiency of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's writing this book as a formula that helps somebody in persecution understand that there's a God out there that can get them through it. And so when you read this passage, and as we look at a couple of these verses, I want you to understand it through that lens. That this book is a formula trying to tell you that Jesus is enough. And it's a formula trying to teach you how you can live the Christian life in the midst of the desperately dark world of persecution that we face each and every day. So let's read a couple of verses and let's see what the writer has to say to us. Verse 19 in chapter 10 says this, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." Let's stop right there. We could talk for an hour on that very couple of verses. Here's what the writer's saying. He's saying, listen, you have a way into the family of God. He's saying, listen, before Jesus came, or if Jesus never came, it would be hopeless. But you know what? The veil has been torn, and you now have access to God the Father through the person of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, if you realize that the way that you have access to God the Father is because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, then you're going to want to live your life for him because you realize that eternity wasn't possible if Jesus didn't do what he did. And so what the writer's saying is, before he talks about how to live the Christian life, he's saying, first you have to understand that access to God has been granted to you. I like keys. Okay, on my key ring, there's typically a lot of keys. Amanda will say that. Amanda will attest to that. I don't know what it is about keys, but I guess it's because keys give you access to different places. And so it's kind of cool to walk up to a door, have a whole big old set of keys, and be able to pull the key out that opens the door that somebody else couldn't get into. So I'll tell you a story here really quickly. Amanda and I were on vacation a couple of years ago. And we were down in Disney, and we were staying at one of these ridiculously high-priced Disney resorts, right? Amen. But we were staying in a condo that was on the Presidential Reserve floor. Okay, well, here's the cool thing about that. In order to get to the Presidential Reserve floor, you had to have a special key card that when you got into the elevator, you had to put it into the elevator, and it would take you up to the Presidential Reserve floor. And if it weren't for that key card, you weren't getting there. And I tell you what, I like keys. This was awesome. So I would wait until a group of people were getting on the elevator, right? So that I could get on the elevator with them. And Amanda and I could get on, and we'd whip out that black Presidential Reserve key card, and we'd be looking around and just stick it right in the elevator and go up to the Presidential Reserve floor, just looking around, thinking we're somebody, right? But here's the idea. I had access to something that somebody else may have wanted. I had access to something that key card allowed me to go somewhere that I couldn't have gotten without it. And here's the correlation back to this passage. Listen, Jesus is the key card. You've got access to God the Father. You can get to God's Presidential Reserve floor, which is eternity in heaven, just simply by taking that access card, which is Jesus Christ, and saying, you know what, I believe it. And by saying, you know what, even if the world tells me it's not important, or even if the world says that it's not worth it, that I've got access to God the Father. I've got access to God the Father whenever I want Him, because Jesus loves me. What an incredible feeling that is. And so there's a couple of things that I want to talk about with that being in mind. I wanted to set that as the foundation. And I wanted us as a church to realize that before we understand how to live the Christian life, we first have to realize that the Christian life is only available through Jesus Christ. And so there's three things that I want to talk about tonight, three things that we can kind of glean from this passage. And the first one is faith. I want to talk about three things: faith, hope, and love. And we could go into the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we could look at what the Bible has to say about love. And then we could look at 1 Corinthians 13:13, which talks about faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. But as you look at the book of Hebrews, this passage that we're going to read for just a minute talks about all three. And here's what I have gleaned from this passage. That the writer is saying, listen, the sufficiency of Christ is enough for you. You've got access to God the Father through the person of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to know how you can live your life in a way that reflects Him. So we'd go back to that dash that we were talking about just a minute ago. You want to know how to make that dash as alive as it possibly can be, to jump off that headstone screaming Jesus Christ? Faith, hope, and love. We're going to talk about all three of them. So let's keep reading here for just a minute. Faith is really reflected in the first couple of verses 19 through 22. We've already read verse 19 and 20, so let's pick up in verse 21. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21 says, "And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Here's the idea here. And if you remember, the book of Hebrews is really immersed in faith. The book of Hebrews talks about faith. And here's what the writer is trying to challenge you. He's trying to challenge you with the fact that, listen, even if you don't think you have enough faith to believe in Jesus, you do. All it takes is just simply saying, God, I believe. Jesus, you're worth it. Jesus, you're enough for me. And he's saying, if you remember that Jesus is enough, then it's going to be really easy for you to put your faith in Jesus because you've seen what he's done for you. Let me give you an example. You say, I don't know how to practice faith. That's ridiculous. Of course you do. You come into this church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and when you sit down in that pew, you have faith that it's going to hold you. And listen, you've sat in the same pew every single Sunday because we're Baptists and that's how we roll. But here's the idea. You say you don't know how to practice faith. Of course you do. When you go out to your car and you get in it and you turn the key, you have faith that it's going to start. Why? Because you put your purse in the passenger seat. You put your kids in the back seat. It started over and over and over again, and you have faith that it's going to start again. You have faith that this pew is going to hold you when you sit down. You have faith in so many things each and every day. And don't try to tell me that you don't know how to have faith in Jesus Christ. Because we exercise faith all the time. And listen to me, college students, when you step out of this place, or adults, it doesn't matter, and you come in contact with people who try to tell you that Jesus isn't real, or that they're an atheist, or an agnostic, or whatever it may be, listen, don't let them lie to you and tell you that they're an atheist because they don't have any faith. I believe it takes way more faith to be an atheist than to be a Christian. Why? Because Jesus makes himself known each and every day. Just like when you come and you sit here in that pew, you have faith that it's going to hold you. Why do you have faith that it's going to hold you? Because it held you last week, it held you the week before, and it held you the week before that. Listen to me. Why can you be faithful or have faith that God is never going to let you go? Because he didn't let you go last week. And he didn't let you go the week before that. And he didn't let you go the week before that. And so there is no way that God is going to let you go right now when you can look behind you and see the road signs that have been set up in your life where God said, I just want you to realize that I never forsook you. I never let you go, and I'm not going to start right now. Listen, Brother Joe Honeycutt has been through one of the worst situations that a family could ever imagine. But you know what? In the midst of it, God is still faithful. And whatever the world may throw at you, whatever your family may come and tell you, whatever phone call you may get tomorrow, I don't want you to think that God isn't there. God is there, and he promised to never leave you and never forsake you, no matter what it is that you face. And how can you be so sure? Because he didn't leave you before. Listen, here's the crazy cool thing about being a Christian. We get to look back on our life, and we get to see the many moments when God was faithful. And you want to say, Pastor, actually, I don't know of one. I'm a Christian, and I believe, but I don't know of a moment when God was faithful in my life. Let me tell you, when Jesus saved you, God was faithful. When Jesus saved you, God exercised his faithfulness to you by just saving you from your sins. So if that is all you ever faced, and that is all that ever happened, if you were the thief on the cross, and you lived your life apart from God, and you got saved the moment before you entered into eternity, you could be confident in saying, God is faithful because he saved you. And that's all it takes. And so listen, as we look at the book of Hebrews chapter 10, the theme here is the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. The theme is that Jesus Christ is sufficient for you to put your faith in to live each and every day. And so the first aspect of that is understanding what true faith is. Faith, the book of Hebrews goes on to say, is the evidence of things not seen. Listen, we know as we sit here or stand here tonight, we don't actually see the person of Jesus Christ in this room, but you can't tell me he's not here. You can't tell me that his presence isn't so full in this place. The book of Romans says that God makes himself known through his creation. Just go outside and look around and see Jesus. What an incredible gift it is for us to view the world through the lens of Jesus Christ. And so the second thing that I want to talk about is hope. I'm going to explain to you what that means here in just a minute. So let's read a couple of verses. And it's actually just simply verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. What is hope? Hope is a longing for something. Hope is longing for an outcome, or longing for an event, or longing for eternity. Let me give you an example. How many of you have ever been in your car, and you're driving through a terrible rainstorm or thunderstorm or whatever it may be, and here's all you can think about is, I just can't wait to pull the car in the garage. I just can't wait to get out of this mess and to pull the car into the garage and to be safe and to be content with where I am. I know for me, when I'm driving in a terrible storm or bad rain and it's hard to see and I got my wife in the car, I'm nervous. I can't stand it. And all I long for is to get home. That's hope. I'm hoping for, I'm longing for what is to come. So how do I reflect that back to this passage? Listen, the Bible makes it clear this isn't our home. We're just passing through. And so if the sufficiency of Christ really is sufficient, and we really do put our faith in Him, then we can long for eternity, because it's not something we're guessing about. It's something we're promised. And so a hope of tomorrow is an idea that tomorrow is going to be better than today. It's the longing and the belief that we have not yet seen God's best for us. And we as believers can be confident in that because, oh my goodness, can you imagine what eternity's like compared to what we face today? You may think that you have it really good. You may think that your life is awesome, and I'm sure it is. Look, you may have just gotten the promotion at work you were really trying for. College kid, you may just got the scholarship that really helps daddy pay for school. Amen? Right? You may think that there's nothing that could happen to make your life better, but listen, it doesn't matter if it's the best life you could have ever imagined. I promise you eternity is going to be way better. I promise you. And so if you really want to live your life in a way that reflects Jesus Christ, you have to have a healthy hope. Because without hope, we've got no purpose. Without hope, and the hope that tomorrow is going to be better than today, then we're not actually going to live in anticipation of tomorrow. You understand? So in order for you to actually live your life for Jesus Christ and to reflect His love to somebody else, you have to have a hope that what Jesus said really is true. Listen, you haven't experienced eternity yet. You haven't been there. But you have to understand that God's not going to lie to you, and that what He promises is actually coming your way if you just simply put your faith in it. You see how these things, faith and hope, work together? You've got to have faith first, and if you have faith, then you're ultimately going to have a hope that tomorrow is coming and eternity is going to be real. Listen, non-believer, let me stop right here and say this to you as well. Eternity is equally as real. Amen? Eternity is equally as real whether or not you believe in Jesus or whether or not you don't. But the decision that you get to make is where you spend it. And so it's really, really important that you understand that while you're still breathing, it's not too late. It's not too late to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And so we talked about that this morning. And here's the final point that I want to talk about tonight. And it's just simply this. It's love. Faith, hope, and love. And love is so important because love is the way that we reflect the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's finish reading here for a couple of minutes in these passages, just verse 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more ye see the day approaching. You know what that passage is saying? It's saying, listen, here's how you show love. It's really simple. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling together. You know what that means? That means surround yourself with people and show the love of Jesus Christ. That means surround yourself with a church that loves you and can reflect the love of Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that we're supposed to be in the body of believers. We're supposed to be in the church. Why? Not so that you can be a seat in, or a number in a, on a roll or a seat in a pew. What it means is so that we can experience the edification of the gospel by surrounding ourselves with people that love Jesus like we do. Listen, Dave may be stronger than me, but Dave and I are stronger than Dave. Let me say that again. Dave may be stronger than me, but Dave and I are stronger than Dave. And here's the point. You think you can go at this on your own? You think that you can live this life without the surrounding yourself with believers that love Jesus? Wait till life throws you something that you don't know how to handle. Wait till life throws you something that you can't imagine experiencing. Listen to me, high school graduate. I want you to get this. When you go to college and when you step out of this place, you're going to experience a brand new world. You're going to experience so many things that you hadn't experienced before. You're going to experience so many heartaches that you had never experienced before, and joys. But you want to know the best way to get through it? Surround yourself with believers. And surround yourself with believers that love Jesus and can keep you going down his path. Don't for a second think that just because you have Jesus in your heart, that this life is going to be easy. Because it's not. God doesn't promise you an easy life. He promises you an eternal life. You get that? He doesn't promise you an easy one, but he promises you one that's worth it. He promises you a life that you can spend forever with him if you just simply will put your faith in him right now. And so when it talks about love, it's kind of two parts to that, those couple of verses. First of all, showing love to people is how we reflect what Jesus did for us. I heard a saying, and I've said this to the youth several times, and I've said it in many different pulpits. Really, there's five Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you, and most people never read the first four. Listen, you may be the only Jesus that anybody ever sees. You may be the only chance that somebody has to see the love of Jesus Christ and the fact that there's a God up in heaven that desperately loves them and desperately wants their soul. And so love one another. Don't forsake to love. And finally, don't ever forsake the assembling together in a body of believers who can come together in prayer, can come together in faithfulness, can come together in a unified hope that Jesus is real and that God is who he says he is. Listen, I said at the beginning, he's either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord. And it's your choice to determine how you live your life. What are you doing with your dash? Are you living your life like Jesus is a liar? And you say, you may say, Pastor, no, I'm not. I'm just living my life. I'm not really thinking about Jesus, but I'm not living like he's a liar. You know what? Yeah, you are. Because here's the thing. You're either for God or against God. You're either for God and against the world or for the world and against God, but you can't have it both ways. You can't be for God on Sunday and for the world on Monday. If that's the case, you're for the world the whole way. You got one choice. You're either going to live your life for Jesus, or you're going to live your life against him. And if you live your life lukewarm, what does the book of Revelation say about lukewarm? It says that Jesus would rather you be hot or he'd rather you be cold, but don't you dare be lukewarm. Don't you dare be lukewarm because Jesus will spit you out of his mouth. He'd rather see you on one side of the fence or the other. So you say, Pastor, I'm not living like Jesus is a liar. I'm just living my life. Yeah, you are living like he's a liar. Why? Because he wants you to be on fire for him. There's really no middle ground here. Well, maybe you're living like he's a lunatic. What does that mean? Well, it means that if Jesus was a lunatic, he may have really thought he was God, but he's only a lunatic if he wasn't. Well, if you're living your life where you know all the answers, but you're not treating him like God, you're living like Jesus was a lunatic. You're living that way. And then the third option is you're living like he's Lord. And then you follow what's written in this book. You follow what's written in this passage. And you realize that the sufficiency of Jesus Christ is enough for you. And you realize that you can have faith, just like you have faith that your car is going to start, faith that the pew is going to hold you. You can have faith in Jesus Christ. Don't try to tell me you don't know how to exercise faith. You can have a hope once that faith is established. And that hope is that tomorrow is better than today. And that where we're going is better than where we are. And finally, you can have a love. What does that mean? It means love other people, love your family, love Jesus, and surround yourself with godly people who also want to reflect his name. It's that simple. The message in this passage is clear, and we're coming to a close. And here's what I want you to understand. If you're still breathing, it's not too late. If you're still breathing, then God has given you another chance. Here's another saying that I love. There's no stains on the pages of tomorrow. Listen, the reality is you can't change what happened yesterday. That page has already been written. That chapter's already been closed. But there are no stains yet on the pages of tomorrow. Tomorrow hadn't been written yet. You might say, it's too late. You know what? No, it's not. It's not too late. But I challenge you, don't wait till tomorrow. You better start now. You better start right now living for Jesus. Why? Because tomorrow's not promised, and all you're promised is right now. What does Jesus say? He said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Here's what he wants. He wants you to realize that you're a sinner in need of salvation. He wants you to realize, Christian, that you're not living for him. Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you're not living your life like God's called you to, but you're ready to start today. Jesus is standing here with his arms wide open. He's standing here just like this. He's not shunning you or pushing you away because of what you did yesterday. He's not shunning you or pushing you away because of the mistakes you made 20 years ago. He's not shunning you or pushing you away, high school student, because of what you did at school last week or what test you cheated on or whatever it may be. He's standing here with his arms wide open saying, I want you to trust me now. I want you to trust me today. I want you to trust that I'm not a liar, I'm not a lunatic, but here I am. Here's the nails in my hands. I'm Lord. Will you pray with me? Father God, Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we've had to be in your house. God, we have the opportunity to open your word and to read it and to hear what it has to say to us. God, thank you so much for making it so clear. God, you desire us to have faith. You desire us to have hope. And you desire us to have love. God, may we realize that our birth date and our death date are set in stone, but what we get to do is we get to determine the dash. Lord, we love you. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do in the lives of our families, Lord, in the lives of the people that we impact for you. We'll give you the honor and the glory, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. We're going to move into a time of invitation. The invitation is open, and it's just simply this. Maybe you're sitting there and you're saying, I want to know that I know. I want to know that I can understand Jesus is enough for me. I've been living my life as a lie. I've been living my life like Jesus is a liar. Maybe I've lived it like he's a lunatic, but today I want to put my faith in Jesus as Lord. And today I want to know that when I go into eternity, I'm going to spend it with Jesus. And Christian, maybe you are sitting here saying, I haven't lived my life for Jesus. I live it for him on Sunday, but I haven't lived it for him on Monday. But I want to. I want tomorrow to be different than today. And here's the challenge. Would you step out and come? Would you step out and say, God, maybe I just haven't been living like I was supposed to. Maybe there are some things I need to change about how I reflect your name. And I'm committing that tonight is when I'm going to do that. So we're going to stand and sing. You step out and you come.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Countest thou all things for Jesus? But lost, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood,
to sing another verse here in just a minute. The words on the screen are clear. Is your heart right with God? Are you ready to step out of this place and step into eternity? And are you prepared to step out of this place and to step into eternity? And if God leaves you here for just a little bit longer, are you living your life as a reflection of who he is? Or maybe you just need to pray for somebody in your family that needs to know Jesus. We're going to sing another verse. If God's tugging at your heart, don't let anything hold you back. You step out and you come.
Hast thou dominion or self and or sin? Is thy heart right with
Has it not been good to be in the house of the Lord today? Appreciate that wonderful message. Thank you for the wonderful singing, the choir coming up, and Miss Davison and Brother Billy are here, and some of their family members. We appreciate them being here, and appreciate our guests coming back this evening, and also Rebecca's health and nutrition teacher is here. Keisha Thompson, thank you so much for being here. And I just, ma'am, I want you to know that my daughter is not practicing what you're preaching. Because she'll call me and say, Daddy, would you go by McDonald's and get the number 10 combo, which is 10 chicken nuggets, fries, and a sweet tea? So I want you to know she's a hypocrite. Folks, thank you for being in the house of the Lord. We're going down here in just a minute to recognize and to appreciate these graduates. I pray you'll go down, encourage them, love them, own them a little bit. They're going to need it before they step out into college. Amen.